That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning to the remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is Saturday morning, September 12th, 2020. We welcome you here. We thank you for joining us. And we've got a full crew on this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim, out in Nebraska. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Good morning. Glad to be here.
Amen. And we welcome you, the remnant. Lots going on. Things that, well, it's not that they've never happened before, but things that we haven't seen in a while. And so I'm sure we'll get to talk about some of those this morning. And we'll have the phone lines opened up for you. And Jason, we'll ask you to open us up in prayer this morning, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, Father, for your blessing upon this coffee time this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us. And, Father, we just ask, Father, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We pray, Father, that you tend to the need of the remnant across this land and that you just see to it that they're safe and that they find and abide in the protection that comes from your throne and your throne only. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
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 Yes, amen and hallelujah. And remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. It's a live program this Saturday morning. And I want to bring Pat on. Pat out in Oregon. Good morning, Pat.
Morning.
And Pat called yesterday and had an interesting comment, so thought it'd be good to give a call in, kind of give you a first-hand report of what maybe what he's seeing out in Oregon. Certainly, we've got the fires, but Pat, it was a little something different that you called into the office yesterday and let me know about. You wanna take a quick minute and just kind of let everybody know what you're seeing out there?
Yeah, I was at the back of the post office in the parking lot yesterday morning, somewhere around 11 o'clock. The main line for the Union Pacific Railroad between the West Coast and the eastern part goes through the Dalles, Oregon, which is a small city of 17,000 people. It's about 60 miles from Portland. And the crossing signal activated, and so I knew a train was coming. And it's a little unusual for a train like this. It was a number. I didn't count the number of power units up front, but the cargo was all on flatbeds. And it was really unusual. They were armored personnel carriers, M1 tanks, patrol vehicles for those armored personnel carrier platforms, and they were artillery units. I don't know what they were, but they were definitely tracked long guns, cannon, and their control vehicles. And after that was a number of flatbeds with boxes on it, metal containers that were resembled a regular boxcar, but they were shorter. They were painted kind of a lightish color with splashes all over them, as in some kind of camel pattern I've never seen before. And
sure.
There was no following unit to it. The other issue there was the train was obviously going quite a bit faster than normal cargo trains. And so I thought that was kind of unusual, especially given, or maybe not given, the what's going on today, and especially with Portland and the anti-fall in there. I think it might have something to do with the President Trump. Of course, I'm speculating, but we know how things are. So anyway.
Sure.
That's it.
Well, appreciate you letting us know. It's always good to get that firsthand, you know, as opposed to, I heard or somebody told me or that type of thing. Yeah, who knows? With everything going on, and then how about the fires out there? You had said you'd had some family members evacuated, and I know looking at some of the headlines this morning, some of the fires in Oregon, Mill City and Talon, Detroit, Blue River, Nida, however you say it, in Phoenix, all Oregon, you know, either on fire or burned.
Yeah, there's over, I believe, 900,000 acres burned.
Wow.
Yeah, the policy, the firefighters at the highest level, is they're evacuating areas where the fire might go for their work needs. In other words, clear the streets, which I believe is the evacuation policy. My son was involved in that. He lived in an apartment complex and that was evacuated, and across the street there wasn't any evacuation notice at all that I'm aware of. But it's just the way they work, you know, clear the population out, and if they have to let the town burn, let it burn. Up in the Spokane area, they lost a couple of towns too, up in Washington.
Wow.
It's pretty obvious the days are on us.
Yep.
I believe that most of the fires were not man-caused. There'd be a lot of lightning strikes.
Right.
At the beginning of this.
Well, Pat,
we just slam the knuckle down and pray.
You know, I sure hope that's what the people are doing. That is for sure. You know, we read in Isaiah that there comes a time when, you hide yourself. We read it around Passover time. You know, go inside your house and close your doors. And I believe that if the people are not seeing that, they need to be humbled. They need to be praying for protection from these things. That they have their eyes open. That they take that time to do that very thing. that they do.
I agree.
So, well, Pat, thanks so much for the update. I sure appreciate it. And we will certainly keep our eye on that. And if, you know, if anything else like that happens, sure, you know, you've got our office number and call and let us know.
I'll do that.
All
right. Thank you.
All right, brother. Thank you. Have a great morning. Great weekend.
Yourself.
Well, Remnant, lots going on.
Yeah, one of the headlines that I saw was that it said Oregon governor says she is preparing for mass fatality events, dozens missing, hundreds of firefighters battle two huge wildfires, and 500,000 are evacuated while death toll on West Coast exceeds 25.
Yes.
At least 15 people were killed in Oregon and Washington State, and 10 have died in California. Officials said authorities in Oregon and California expected casualties to rise as fires continue to burn through the state. Governor Kate Brown said 40,000 Oregonians evacuated. 500,000 are in varying levels of evacuation zones. Dozens are missing in Jackson County in South Marion County, where fire continues to burn near Salem. 68,000 were ordered to evacuate in California, where the largest fire in state history burned 740,000 acres. August complex facing raging through Mendocino National Forest around 120 miles northwest of Sacramento. And, I mean, geez, it just goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah, it does. I saw those headlines this morning, and you know, when you hear dozens missing, you know, sometimes they've just evacuated and, you know, gone their separate ways. They haven't gone to maybe the Red Cross shelter or, you know, stopped and made sure and said, hey, I want to check in with the emergency management coordinator that's heading up the fire. You know, you don't think about that when you just have to leave. But yeah, they're putting out preparing, for this, for it to be a mass casualty event. You know, it was just, what, 2018 when Paradise, California burned. And that was like at 8 o'clock in the morning, if you go back and look at that. The way that ripped through, that fire started the previous evening, and by the time it hit Paradise, it was early in the morning, and it turned day into night in that town. And some of the videos of these people trying to evacuate, it's done the very same thing. Now, not all over the world, but certainly in their world, it has. Some of the evacuation videos that I've seen, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it should be bright sunshine, and it looked more like 4 in the morning, because it just the smoke and the flames on the side of the road. It was surreal Monday down in La Porte, Jason, down at your place in the. By the print shop from the smoke from this Cameron Peak fire.
Smoke in the ash. The ash coming out of the sky was just absolutely insane this week. You know, you could park your car and 15, 20 minutes later, it's got a layer of ash from over it from top to bottom.
Yeah, and that was just a little, I say a little, I think by Monday, Monday afternoon before the snow came, it had gotten up to about 96,000 acres. I think it's over 100,000 acres now, just a little fire that we've got between the radio ranch and the church and Jason's place and the print shop. And they were having evacuations last week in the beginning of this week. And we got a pretty good snowfall that... didn't put the fires out, at least not that one, but sure put a hold on that that big growth is what it did. It put a hold on that big growth and kind of calmed things down a little bit to where at least our local firefighters can maybe get a hand on it. But yeah, the headlines that I'm seeing out of Oregon, you know, Mill City, Talent, Blue River, towns burned. I mean, just gone. Vacation towns and towns where people live, where they have schools and hospitals and things like that. And I saw one report this morning. It said that they have the right now the worst air quality in the world in San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle. How about that? San Francisco, Portland, and now what else does San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle have? You know, when you might think about some common denominators, you know, and they're all Democrat led. They're all super liberal, extra liberal policies. They care nothing for law and order. And so why would they not have the worst air quality in the world? They've had one of the worst quality of lives in the world because of what, you know, the decisions that their leaders have made.
Well, one of the other things that's going on, too, is like in Oregon there, and I think Tim had some more information on this, but there was two arrests made. A couple that was going around with gas masks on, trying to start haystacks on fire. And there was another report that a firefighter reported he ran into the two individuals wearing gas masks trying to set stuff on fire. But then there was the Subarus with Texas plates that were going around throwing Molotov cocktails out of the windows trying to start fires. And the reports, I mean, it's in the local news out there in Oregon, there's a lot of stuff that is popping up like that. So it makes you wonder if they're just doing that. I mean, basically they're rioting and they're trying to cause as much chaos as they possibly can. And Tim, what else do you got on that? I know you had some information on it.
Well, they've been arresting several people that are starting these fires all around. And the thing that makes that credible to me, let's put it that way, would make the guy just connect the dots, so to speak, is the fact that there's a couple different issues. One is the fact that what are they doing in the big city? They're burning everything. You know, I mean, these areas look like Serbian war zones or something when they're done with these towns. And they want to burn everything to the ground, and that's what they're talking about. Burn it, burn it, burn it. Burn it all down. And we see this going on. And, the other thing that interests me is I was looking at the major fire incidents that's in the U.S. map, and we've got 103 major fires going on right now that are 3.4 million acres all across the western United States, or as some of them have been calling it, the left coast. But one of the interesting things to me is that the fact that there's four major fires in Alaska going right now, and then the rest of them are all on, western United States. But that fire trend doesn't follow the coast down through Canada. There's not a lot going on the Canadian West Coast fire-wise. It kind of is in Alaska, it kind of skips over Canada, and it starts right at the north border of Washington State in the United States and sweeps on south in the western state. That seems a little odd for all storm front caused fires. And I have no doubt that some of these fires could be caused by lightning strikes. I mean, that's a common occurrence, out there. And especially with all of the poor forestry management that we have, we talked about this during the Paradise Fire in California, and they won't let them clear out the deadwood out of the forest. I mean, this is what's going to happen that way. But the prevalence of these fires popping up all over in the areas that they are, and they indicate a pattern. If you kind of look at it, you've got a circular pattern on the western United States, and then you've kind of got a pattern on the. And they also kind of follow some major roadways. I mean, if you look through them, I mean, they're not areas that are abandoned or harder to get to, or they're not as the prevalence of fire in those areas is pronounced. So it kind of leads you to wonder what's going on. But there are some arrests going on, Molotov cocktails, some people out there doing things, and also it's 9/11. I mean, that was yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday was 9/11. We talk about the annual sacrifice in the Antichrist and how they do these things, or how these things go on. And think, is this just one of those things? I mean, obviously we're at a time of national destruction. They're trying to circumvent and destroy our country on all these different fronts, because I think that, you know, it's a gasping breath bomb. They're trying to overcome those things. And I guess there's a whole bunch of things that lead to more questions, I realize, but also thoughts. I mean, we always talked about the Northwest being the Great American Redoubt. You know, they wanted people to move up there because they were going to take care of that. Where are these fires? A lot of them are in those areas, you know. So, it's a strike, I think. And these people are being forced to, I mean, 3.4 million acres. Oregon said that a 500,000 acre fire in Oregon is an average for an entire year. Yes. They've had that much burn in just a few days. So yeah. This is definitely not a natural phenomenon.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I just can't help but think back. You know, I mean, every year it has been record fires in California. And here we're seeing record fires in that whole area. It's not just California, but that whole area.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you look through the headlines, you see, yes, climate change. And they try to point to that. But it's not climate change, that allows these fires to rip and to roar like they are. It's the like you mentioned, Tim, the forest and the undergrowth, the mismanagement of the forests, the mismanagement of not just the national forest, but the public lands, and the uncontrolled growth, you know, of putting homes. And I mean, we have growth. Like you said, they've been pushing people to move there, and people have, just like they have here, just like they have down around Jason's place. You know, people are pushing more and more into the mountains, into the woods. That's where they like to live. Well, there's guidelines for doing that. If you want to, you know, the firewise.org has great guidelines on, you know, keeping flammables, combustibles, trees, undergrowth, things like that away from your home. You know, having good egress, and people don't, they paid no attention to that. They just go and build. And like you said, the tree huggers, those that love the spotted owl, they have prevented logging. They prevented the grazing of cattle, which keep and help manage the forests, so that they don't get like they're getting now, to where you have these massive uncontrollable wildfires, regardless of how they've started. That's a whole different subject, whether it's lightning or man-made caused, or a campfire left, whatever. But these mismanaged forests, our people have not been the husbandmen, have not been the tenders of the garden in a very literal sense. And we see it all over. We've got, you know, we're surrounded by that as well, the beetle kill forests, and they've actually since this new administration, they've been pushing, it's actually just the last 2 years since Paradise burned, they've been pushing for a change, you know, to change the way, to open up logging. They've got a proposal, and I think they just passed it, opening up about 600 to 800 miles of logging, old logging roads, allowing logging on Elk Mountain and sheep and these areas around, you know, where we have these beetle kill, to do that very thing, to, you know, prevent, to manage the forest better, and to prevent this, even the opportunity, you know, to better manage the forest. And so it's not just ignored, because that's not managing, you know, yielding to these neo-environmentalists. And boy, the protests and the you know, the words that came out of from professors at this university here. Oh, we just that's mismanagement and all. No, it's been mismanagement by following these left wing, you know, leave it all alone and don't do anything to it. The way that they put that out for the last, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years has not worked. And so I'm glad to say, at least in our area, they did pass a plan that looks good, that's going to allow more grazing. It's going to allow a lot more logging, open up the logging roads to where the loggers can get in there and the areas are open to them. And then it involves some clear cutting, not clear cutting the forest, but some for fire breaks and things like that. It's not rocket science. You know, there's a few things that can be done that make a huge difference. And
yeah, selective clearing and yeah,
yes,
there's all kinds of things like that that reduce fire. And those roads, it always interests me. It's called public ground,
yes,
national forest. And Jason can tell you about it, but they close those roads constantly. I mean, places that we went for years, they dozed the roads and everything else, and then when these fires take place back in there, they have no access, you know, and it just, you know, you only end up with air access, and putting smoke jumpers in it is a very awesome ability, but it's also kind of dangerous for the smoke jumpers too. I mean, if you can actually get your equipment back in there up the fire roads and everything, why? That's nice, but let's destroy all those years of management that we've done that have worked, and all in the name of the fact that man is a virus, and
right,
instead of a creation of God, and you know, the lie that they tell themselves is it's so hypocritical, because they say that we don't have any right, or we don't have, because you know, of who we are, to do any of those things to the land or to nature. But by their own yardstick, if we evolved, then we are part of the ecology. So whatever we do is part of the ecology, you know, or part of the of that sort of thing. And it's a, you know, it's a hypothetical that's hypocritical.
it is.
Wow.
You know, folks, we just got it mailed out this last week, Volume 6 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter. And I encourage you to get it. If you don't get the newsletter, we'll get it posted up on the website this next week. But we'd be glad to mail you one. And Jason had a great article in here on herd and range management. And in that very article, Jason, you mentioned how when Pastor was up, you know, working with Jim Lynch and up in the, let me read it here, the beautiful Colorado Mountain Ranch near the Continental Divide, and they're running cattle. And so some of them had gotten off into the timber. Because, see, that's how it was a generation, two generations ago. And many people don't realize that today, was that public land was leased. People that had cattle herds could run cattle through there. Now, they didn't live there. The cattle would be there for maybe a few months, maybe the summertime, that, you know, and go through, and what would they do? Well, they would eat the grass, some of it, not all of it, but it like you said, Tim, it was part of good forest management. And guess what? You didn't have these mega fires then. You didn't have, because you know, you didn't have these that just these fires that ran uncontrolled, and it was because the fuels were different, we just don't have that anymore. You know, I can remember going up. Pastor's got another message called "The Last Summer," we took the horses up and met Jim Lynch up and rode back through some of that country, and boy, how it's changed. How it had changed, and that's been, what, 12, 13 years ago. But the beetle kill and the lack of grazing and like you said, Tim, the roads that have been closed. And And so when we see these massive fires destroying towns and cities and 500,000 people having to evacuate, that's the result. That's the result. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning. It's Coffee with the Wranglers on September 12th, 2020. The phone lines are open, 307-745-5913.
I think it was, I see there was a move on, there's kind of a thing sweeping out across there for September 15th. They have a no more masks situation going on there. There's a big move worldwide to end this nonsense. Tuesday, September 15th, all over the world, we will stop wearing masks. And their motto is just throw that filthy thing away. So I just thought I thought that was kind of interesting. There's a lot of people that are getting really, you know, it's not a mask, it's a muzzle. And I was working in the shop the other day, and one of the guys came in, and I was listening, and they had some, I don't know, it was a public service announcement. And one of them was the fact that the guy said, well, what can you do in these times of social distancing, and how can you make it better? You can smile and wave at your neighbor and everything else. And I thought I was in the shop alone, and I was standing up there, and I go, well, yeah, I'm sure they can see you smile with your mask on, you know. And, I had a guy, you know, he had walked in, and he got quite a chuckle out of that. But, it was like,
yeah.
You can't tell somebody smiling when they have their mask on.
That's right.
They might be scowling at you. So,
boy, it's interesting. It's interesting you say that, Tim. I don't know if you've noticed. But I mentioned something to my wife the other day. It's like, you know, when you walk in a store that everybody else has their mask on. And I was in the grocery store the other day and walked right by the manager, and she had her mask on. I didn't have mine on. And she, you know, hi, good afternoon. Didn't say anything about the mask. But you look around, and boy, you get looks. And I think you get two kind of looks. You know, one, it's like, oh, who does he think he is? You know, that they, you get this holier than thou, that the people, you know, oh, look at this, ignoramus. This person, doesn't care. And this person doesn't know you're supposed to wear a mask and things like that. And then there's another look that you get, usually from, you know, some of the men that are wearing masks. And it occurred to me, it was like, you know, you get that look like, oh, I wish I didn't have to wear a mask. And anyway, it just, that was a thought that occurred to me the other day, and it is ridiculous. You know, I we've talked about fires, and you know, we volunteer on the fire department out here, and mainly wildland grass fires. That's what we have, and we have masks for that. Okay, and it's like the little N95, the little white ones that you see. They usually go inside a big other type of mask that you can wrap around, Velcro in the back of your head, you know, to keep if you're really in some thick smoke. And so those masks, they'll filter some smoke, but the smoke particles are huge compared to a virus particle. And you know, these $60 and $80 smoke masks that wildland firefighters will use are one thing, but again, they filter smoke particles that you can see, and just the illogic, you know, and I don't know how I can use that word right, but it's just ridiculous. It's just a great social experiment. I really think it is. It's all about control,
yeah,
and not about your health.
How far can you push?
Right, yeah. And not about yeah. your health. Not at all.
Well, the other thing is, when you walk into a room with everybody wearing a mask on, you automatically assume that the looks are furtive. You know what I mean? That people are looking without the rest of the face, what is the intent that you perceive, you know, and your perception would probably be the downside. You know, it wouldn't necessarily be, we say put the best face on things, but what about when you only get a half a face? So, but I was chuckling a little when you said that, because I've been in some places, Walmart most notably, don't wear my mask in there, and you know, a lot of people do. They give you these dismissive looks.
Yes.
I assume. I mean, but there are other people in there who also aren't wearing their masks, and a lot of those nods from the guys. You know those nods.
That's right.
You know, like, yeah, you do, huh? Well, it's kind of like, but yeah, that goes on. So.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open. You don't need to listen to us talk all morning. 307-745-5913 if you have a question or a comment. And I did see a headline that St. Louis couple, the McCluskeys, I think was their name, that, you know, after their neighborhood was broken into by a rioting mob threatening to kill them, and they brandished the little silver pistol that did not work, and the man had his AR-15 and stuff, that apparently 9 protesters have received citations since then, because, you know, for doing that, for breaking into the neighborhood, for threatening to kill them and burn their house down and kill their dog and kill Mrs. McCluskey and things like that, that 9 protesters have received citations, you know, little tickets. And so I'm sure that's going to prevent anything like that from happening again. It's ridiculous. You know, if they would have burned their house down and killed the McCluskeys, you know, nothing would have happened. Nothing. Guys, let's go to the phones. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Hi, I think we're in the news headlines. I think there's something that people kind of miss that's maybe more significant than any of this stuff, and that's that, you know, Donald Trump was talking about pulling soldiers out of here, there, and everywhere, and, you know, having pulled them out of Syria and wanting to pull them out of Afghanistan and things like that. And we talk, you know, and we look at this government, and it's running itself. I mean, despite what Donald Trump or anybody else does, it's going to do what it's going to do. And we talk about all these agencies, but the biggest, when you talk about big government, the biggest government there is the military. I mean, they spend the most money, they have the most power, they can move the government where they want it to be. They are the government, basically. It's devolved to that. And the point is that, you know, this, remember Pastor used to talk about this, General Smedley Butler.
Yes.
Who wrote, you know, War is a Racket, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he wrote that after he got done doing all his military mayhem and stuff like that. And he was a New Deal guy. He was a Roosevelt guy. And Dwight Eisenhower, who was a military career guy, waited till he was finished with his presidency to warn about the military-industrial complex. And I think he was just ordered to do that, basically. They have to tell us what they're doing and gloat about it. And then we get to Jack Kennedy, who ran as a real hawk, military guy, and got to the point where he realized that something's wrong in Vietnam here. and he announced that he was going to start pulling troops from Vietnam. And we all know what happened to Jack Kennedy, but more importantly, we know what happened to the country and the sacrifice and carnage and social change and rot and everything that came as a result of the Vietnam War. And now, you know, Donald Trump is announcing, I think he wanted to do this. He's wanted to do this all the time. And I think they put him up to it and said, well, now's the time. And this may destroy him, because everybody else, Lindsey Graham, you know, are big backing, backed the military and criticized him every time he's done something like this. And I think it will not bode well for him if he decides to go through with this, and it will certainly not bode well for the country. And I think, for me, that's the nexus of my prayer. I mean, that's you know, there's only God can turn this around and get this. You know, look at these Oregon fires. They've got 6 firefighting helicopters in Oregon. Oregon National Guard has 6 firefighting helicopters. They're over in Afghanistan right now. Well, people are dying in Oregon.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably a bigger picture than any of this. The Revolutionary Army, you know, Satan's army here in the cities, looting and killing and destroying, are certainly a part of the picture. But you know, this is it, and this is these people. All these military services have what they call a war college. Okay, this is their graduate school, and if you've been reading, if you've looked at some of the papers they do, these theses and everything else they do for these advanced degrees, this is their graduate school. And if you look at some of them, it's all flag officers. Yeah, the occasional up and coming army colonel or navy captain or something like that. But it's all flag officers. And all of these papers and all of these strategy documents and everything have to do with New World Order.
Yes.
And bringing the world under subjugation. That sort of thing. And that's basically as far as the swamp, the dark government, that's it. I mean, they live, those are the people who now, you know, live by the sword.
Yes. That's a good way to put it. It is.
Basically. And that's what's running our government. Despite all of this, if you listen to Joe Biden and all these other people, we got to go in and save those damn Syrians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And even the supposed Republicans, you know, we're going to go over and this business with Israel and making supposed peace with these Arab countries, this is part of that big picture. I'm not sure exactly how it works into it, but it's all part of this big picture. And that's, if there's one thing our Lord can do for us right now in the coming months, it's, you know, turn this situation around. Because without this, this is Satan's army. This is Satan's side. Without this, we're not going to go anywhere.
Amen. Bill, thanks. Thanks. Sure. Certainly comments to get you thinking, that's for sure.
Yep. Okay.
All right. God bless, brother. Bye. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that people are seeing more and more of, and is that deep state that yeah, there's more going on than meets the eye. More going on than meets the eye. And that's good. That's good that those things are being exposed. Being exposed. Well, Remnant, we've got a few minutes left. 307-745-5913. And, boy, if you could come out to the radio ranch today, we're branding a few head of cattle. And hoping that works out pretty good. We've got a pretty good day for it. And it's going to be interesting to see. We can see this smoke plume back here when the fire, this Cameron Peak fire, is burning. So looks like a clear day. Our 10-day forecast is sunshine and highs in the 70s, lows in the 40s. So that's still apparently this time of year, this year, it's that's still fire weather. So it's going to be interesting to see if what this fire back here behind us does, if anything. Want to keep all the firefighters in your prayers, if you would. We ask you to do that, Remnant. There's regardless of like Pat said at the beginning of the program, they sometimes they evacuate these towns and let it burn, and that's kind of a harsh way of putting it. Many times, and I've done it myself. You go into a neighborhood and you evacuate the neighborhood, and you can't do anything about the houses burning because if the fire is so big or coming so fast that all you can do is try to save life, and sometimes that's how it ends up being. Jason, had you heard they got old Red Feather? They had evacuated that. They let them all go back in, didn't they? Have you heard anything more on that?
Yeah, they've had they've been moving people in and out. It just depends on where the fire's gone and how bad it is at the time. They evacuated Rustic. Then they let them back in. They evacuated part of Red Feather. Then they let that back in up Brick Canyon. Just about 6 miles from my house, they evacuated that a couple of days ago. But they let them back in, but then they're evacuating people higher up in elevation, more towards the top of the mountain. They've been evacuating a lot of people up there. So it's just it's been hit and miss.
Yeah, it is. Well, Remnant, the thought occurs that, if nothing else, be ready. Be ready. You may not be facing a wildfire. Depending on where you live, you may not be facing a hurricane. There's more tropical depressions forming out in the ocean now. But those storms of life come, as our pastor taught. So, be ready for those. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is Cooper up here in Washington, FEMA Region 10. I just wanted to put out that there's a website, rememberthelawofmoses.com, and they're putting out yard signs, Ten Commandment yard signs that you can put in your yard, and are going to do it all on the 26th, and they're trying to get one in every state. So I just thought I'd put that out to the people.
Well, Cooper, appreciate that.
Okay, that's it. I'll get off and let somebody else call in.
Cooper, where are you at up in Washington?
I'm in a suburbs of Sodom in Seattle.
Okay. All right, brother.
One of the suburbs here.
Well, stay safe.
Yeah, sure. You too, you guys. Bless you all.
Okay, God bless.
Bye.
Guys, we'll stay with the phone lines. One more call. And good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, brothers from Tennessee. This is Marlon.
Good morning, Marlon.
Well, I just thought, while y'all are all gloomy and down-spirited, I'd tell you that here, I'm a little out of breath here in Tennessee. We're planting the cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and cauliflower and arugula and you name it. Because
nice.
I'm planning on eating this winter. I'm
nice.
Planning on living. And I'm planning on living with God's provision. And if something happens and it don't work that way, all it's cost me is a little bit of sweat, and I could always stand to lose a pound or two.
I don't know, brother. I hear you. You planting stuff this time of year?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
You're planting stuff this time of year?
I'm sorry, one more time. The audio is terrible on this end.
Sorry, Marlon. Jason said, he asked a question. He said, are you planting this time of year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've pulled up a lot of my summer stuff. I've still got tomatoes in the ground and okra and jalapenos and cayennes and green beans and all other various assorted vegetables. But my squash is played out, so I pulled all that up on August 8th and tilled in my seven tops turnip greens, which won't produce a bulb, you know, and then today I'm going to plant some actual purple top turnips. And if you're wondering about the significance of August 8th, you could probably Google that, August 8th in Tennessee. It's pretty much common knowledge, and everybody sort of, in honor of the unhonorable, we all plant our turnips on August 8th. But, yeah, all my fall stuff is being planted now, cabbage and stuff like that, and it'll go... it may even go on into November before we have any kind of a freeze or anything.
Nice.
I started this stuff I'm planting today from seed back, I don't know, a couple months ago in little bathroom-sized Dixie cups. And my weather app kind of messed me up. It said it's been calling for rain on Saturday and Sunday all week, and then yesterday it said no rain Saturday and Sunday, not till Tuesday, so I kind of loafed. I worked at the shop all day and thought, well, I'll cut my grass on Saturday before the, work in my garden before the Sabbath on Saturday and mow my yard after the Sabbath on Sunday. And I got up this morning, and they're calling for rain to move in around 10 o'clock, so I've been out there getting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marlon, Jason's been having some really good stuff out of his garden. It's been beautiful. I finally got some red cherry tomatoes out of my greenhouse yesterday, just to let you know.
Good grief!
Yesterday. And, oh, man.
I've had them as early as the first day of June, but it's usually... towards the end of June, the 1st of July.
Yeah, we were late this year, but anyway, well, that sounds good. And that, yeah, we certainly don't mean to be all doomy and gloomy. It is a beautiful day, and the Lord is still in control. He's still on his throne, and it's good to hear. It's good to hear that that you got your fall crops in. And we'll sure keep that in prayer for a good bountiful harvest. And there's people all over.
I don't mean to suggest that you're spreading the bad news. It's all news, and you know it needs to be spoke of. If we don't speak of it, who will? But I just thought, I knew your program was just about over, and I just thought that I might say something that might be an encouragement to the remnant. And I did a little word study not too long ago, and I came across the word enable, and I looked at the prefix N, and it said to make so, to make able, in other words. So then I applied that to the word encourage, and I'd like to encourage y'all.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir, to make so.
Yes, sir. Be courageous, man. If we don't do it, who will?
Amen. Amen. Well, Marlon, thanks so much, brother.
Yes, sir. Y'all be blessed.
All right. God bless you as well.
All right. Bye now.
Well, Remnant, that is our hope, that you are encouraged. We are to be strong, to act like men, and to make so, to be courageous, to be able to do, and we are able to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. You know, maybe there's something in your future that you're looking at that you've never done before, that you think you have to do, whether it's growing a garden or raising a child or a new job or whatever it is. All things are possible through Christ. They are. Now, that's not all things are possible to anybody. See, that's how the world puts it out, you know, that anybody can do anything. And that's just a lie, because anybody can't do anything. But we can do all things through Christ. And so we hope that you're familiar with that. Well, guys, we're running out of time. We do want to invite you, Remnant, to join us at church tomorrow. 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. That'll be 7:30 for you West Coasters. But we're sure planning on having church. We'll stream it out live to the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And we encourage you to join us. We'll have a we'll start it out, a little review of the news or an insight and study and a timeless pulpit truth. And, you know, the last few, Jason, of those that you've been playing by Pastor Peters, people have been calling and ordering them on CD and extra DVDs, because that's what they call in and say is, hey, this is for today. I've been saying this very thing to some friends, and this will get through to them. And so that has sure been the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we're glad to have those. And we'll have a live message for you in communion. So we encourage you to do that very thing, to take some time and have some fellowship with the saints. So, well, guys, again, have a great day, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, they hide.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
They hide.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out,
ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting.